We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So originally this episode was just going to be a first round mock draft with a full entire Chiefs mock after. But the men making the real picks here in a few days decide to sign extensions through 2029. Let's talk about it.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of the KC Laboratory.
Welcome into a live edition of the KC Laboratory presented by Emprise Bank, member FDIC, our partners in possible here at KC Sports Network, the incredible partner. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We truly are appreciative of you. I am appreciative of whoever is zooming in on the font on our mock draft document right now. Which one of you is blind?
You know. You know who's doing this. Same person that's about to drop a whole bunch of Breland Speaks pictures in the middle of the document.
Oh, no, Maddie!
Sorry, I'm distracted because your camera makes you look like an Oompa Loompa right now. And so, like, I'm now thrown all over the place. So, like, this, we're just having a great start to this. I'm zooming in the chat. You're a little orange. We're having a great time, Craig.
Is that better?
Yes, it is. You look great, you buddy. Look phenomenal, buddy. I can't wait to see you in person.
You do. Yes. I can't wait to be floored by your presence in person and by Maddie's presence in person. It's going to be wonderful. It's draft week, everybody. It's wonderful. We are finally here. Our long national nightmare is almost over. We almost get to talk about new football players added to this Chiefs roster. I am so excited, Kim.
Yeah, then speculate about them all summer. As we do. I can't wait. I'm very excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. We do have, like I said, we mocked out the entire first round for you. We're spoilers, all 32 picks, and the trades are correct. You're welcome.
We're throwing it in the trash because the Chiefs had some news.
Yeah, we are throwing that in. Well, no, we're going to get to that in a minute. We will talk about this off the top of the show, though. Whenever Craig's head comes back on camera.
Working on it.
Okay.
My God, this is perfection. This is the best show we've done in a long time.
Best draft week show ever.
Craig's in an indie music video right now. Anyways,
I just don't know what's happening. So, like,
yeah, the Chiefs have. Say you both. You can tell it's draft week. The Chiefs have extended Mark Donovan, Andy Reid, and Brett Veach. The contract extension extends through 2029. There's been a lot of discussion about the Chiefs trying to get something done with Andy Reid, despite Mike Florio's best efforts to get, you know, to will Andy Reid into retirement. It sounds like he's going to be coaching at least the next 7 seasons. This is great news. It's great to finally see this deal done and the 3 key figureheads in the Chiefs organization all getting a deal together at the same time, Maddie.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that it's coming out now. It's cool. Clark Hunt found that checkbook that, you know, and decided to shell out a little bit of cash to the people at the top, right? He brings back an Andy and Veach and Mark Donovan, and you know, they have varying levels of impact on the Chiefs' ability to go for this three-peat here, but they're all coming back for a long time. That's good. This is good news. I think we all kind of expected an Andy Reid extension to be coming down because I think it was known that his contract was either up or coming up within the next year. Nothing had been announced, but all the coordinators had been done. There's a mentioning that they wanted to get something done earlier this offseason. So I don't think it's a surprise. I don't think it's a surprise that Andy Reid is now the highest paid NFL head coach, especially without Bill Belichick to compete with. I don't think there's really any argument that you could make against it at this point in time. So it's all good. All good all around. Spend some of that cash that you were saving from not spending in free agency and bring back some guys in the front office.
And it makes sense. Like, it does. Brett Veach has done a really good job. He's kind of found his own a little bit as a drafter, especially, you know, day three. Like, the Chiefs have been able to build out their roster consistently through the draft, and particularly on defense late in the draft. They've really gotten some positive players out of that as well. I think the timing on this definitely matters. Did you guys know that if Andy Reid has 10 regular season wins for the entirety of the rest of this contract, he will be tied with Don Shula for the most wins of all time? That is an average of 10 a season. You would expect that Patrick Mahomes is going to be there for at least the majority of that, if not all of that. Clark, he should be here for all of that. Please make sure that
he is under contract. He is under contract for beyond Andy Reid's contract extension. So
absolutely. But there's a good chance that if Andy Reid plays all seven of those years, that he will be the all-time leader in wins. Bill Belichick is still floating around out there as a potential candidate, but doesn't currently have an NFL head coaching job. Who knows if he's going to get another one. Andy Reid had a chance to go out as the winningest head coach simply by doing something that he's done almost every single year that he's been in Kansas City so far, if not better than that. Like, that's been above his average. So go ahead and just do it. And now all of a sudden we're talking about the greatest coach in the history of the NFL, Andy Reid, if he finishes that contract.
If they go 20-0 for three straight seasons.
You're just trying to accelerate this and make him retire quicker? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I'm just trying to
Mike Floyd.
I'm just trying to shatter it. Okay. Congratulations to everybody involved. Very excited. I think 2029 was a very surprising number for me in a very good way.
Me too.
It just dunks on everyone who's been saying that he's going to retire. I don't see that happening, and I don't know why you would retire. I don't know. Honestly, if I could live out my 60s with Patrick Mahomes, I think I would. And now Andy Reid's going to get a chance to do that. So
I now have a new thing atop of my dream board. Thank you.
I'm going to update mine right here. We're going to do that. Anyways, so that's the news of the day. Chiefs have extended the key figureheads in Kansas City. The battery continues. It's going to be great. And the multiple rings are imminent for the rest of the 2020s. Okay, so what we had planned on doing today was a full first-round mock draft and then giving you an entire Chiefs mock draft in conjunction with that, okay? So we've got multiple trades in here. Maybe the Chiefs are involved in one or two. We'll find out. You'll all find out as you're listening. But we're going to go through the first round. We'll probably stop at a few points here or there just to talk about a few of the picks. You know, we're not going to go over every single one of them, but we'll just find some natural stopping points to talk about a few moments in this mock draft scenario that we all concocted together over the course of today. And and then we'll finish it out with the rest of the Chiefs mock and how we laid that out. Let's get into it. First pick, Caleb Williams to the Bears. No surprise there. Commanders, we're going with Jaden Daniels for now. I don't think any of us would do that if we were the Commanders, but it does kind of feel like this is a scenario that is going to occur on Thursday. Betting odds seem to be leaning towards that. The buzz around it seems to be indicating that Jaden Daniels will be the second quarterback in the draft. Drake May, Patriots stick at pick 3, and take Drake May. Look, I know people are saying like, hey, the Patriots are really far away. Drake May is the number one quarterback in next year's draft class.
Yeah.
Like point blank. So just take him. Any thoughts about the first three picks, or do you want to move on, Matthew or Craig?
I mean, we can move pretty quick. I think that Jaden Daniels coming away from the Top Golf, every prospect with the top 30 meeting with the Commanders, and then coming away from it very upset, and then taking a meeting with the Vikings, I thought was notable, right? That's the first time that we've gotten like a public notation that maybe the Daniels to Washington hype train isn't full blast, right? That's the first time, because there's no reason for him to take a meeting with the Vikings if he still expects to go pick two. They're just, especially guys, the way they operate in today's league. I mean, Caleb Williams has taken one meeting this entire time. Marvin Harrison Jr. has taken two meetings this entire time. These prospects aren't taking meetings with teams that they don't think there's a realistic chance they're going to. So the fact that coming out of a meeting with the Commanders that he wasn't happy with, Jaden Daniels went and took a meeting with a team picking at 11 that they assume is going to trade up, that did catch my attention. And so, yeah, I'm kind of keeping an eye on it. I think Commanders should take Drake May. They don't hear this. Also makes the mock draft a lot easier, because I don't think the Patriots are passing on Drake May. If it's Jaden Daniels, though, I don't know. Then it becomes a conversation of what happens at three. So this made the mock draft a lot easier to see with Jaden Daniels at number two.
It absolutely did. And the Patriots get the best quarterback in his rookie year at number three. I'm not trying to say that he's going to be better for Caleb long term. I get what the Bears are doing there. But rookie year, year one, he's going to be the best of these guys. I don't think it matters what the situation is. He's just coming in ready to go. Doesn't really require the same bring up that some of these other guys do. So, yeah, they'll be happy with that pick at pick three.
We're going to update the draft so you can see it as it's happening in the chat as well, just so you know. Just keeping you up to date on that. You can also purchase the KCSN draft guide while you're hanging out with us. Links in the description of the show. It's 300 plus pages of Chiefs specific draft content. You have a week. This is the perfect companion to have. It's a digital download. You can follow along on the draft and read what our opinions of all these players are and how it affects the Chiefs draft too. So, you know, just go ahead and get that. You get 3 months of KCSN Substack as well. Should be a fun companion for the draft this weekend. This is where things get a little weird for us. We have the first trade. The Arizona Cardinals have traded pick number 4 to the Minnesota Vikings for picks 11, 23, and a 2025 first. The Vikings have selected J.J. McCarthy. We have four quarterbacks going at the top of this draft. 1, 2, 3, 4, first time ever. This is, I think, and we'll get here in a second, but I think this is a little bit of a different draft than we're used to. So the Cardinals trade back to 11, and they do what they did last year, is they traded back and then they traded up again. They got a King's ransom to trade out of pick number 4, the catbird seat, getting all of the draft capital from another team, overpaying to get the last of that, yeah, first tier of quarterbacks, how some see it. Worthy swings, we'll call them. And then they trade back up, grab Marvin Harrison Jr. in a trade up with the Los Angeles Chargers at pick number 5. So they go and they give up some assets to move up there, kind of splitting the difference, right? They got to overpay from the Vikings, and then they go back and use it to still get what some consider the best player in this entire draft class. Pick number 6 is the New York Giants taking Malik Nabers. Pick number 7 is the New York Jets trading up with the Tennessee Titans, giving up pick number 10 and a 2025 second round pick for pick number 7 to acquire Rome Odunze. So people are going to say, hey, what are we doing here? You've got four quarterbacks going off the board, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you've got three wide receivers going 1, 2, 3. The seven best, well, it's the most important position in the three best players in the draft. Like, if we're really doing this, like, those are the three best players in the draft, if you ask me. What do you think, Maddie?
I think it's very plausible, right? I think that you're very plausible to get where we are here. I think it's a very aggressive move by the New York Jets, but everything that they've had to do since they got Aaron Rodgers is be aggressive. So they're sitting there at 10. They're looking at the way the draft's shaken out. Both these wide receivers are off the board. You still got a couple teams ahead of them, the Titans and the Bears, that could be looking at taking a wide receiver. Hey, If we're going all in this year, let's go all in. We can't trust Mike Williams to play more than three games right now, especially coming off his injury. Let's just go get another wide receiver who, even after Aaron Rodgers, is going to pair really well with Garrett Wilson. We kind of think he's the last of this top in, you know, pass catcher available. We can jump up a couple spots and snag him. From the Titans' perspective, they really, if they don't want a wide receiver, they're clearly looking at an offensive tackle. Going back just three spots here, the way the draft is looking around them, they probably are still going to get one of the top tackles. So it looks a little funny on a sheet going QB, 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 wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. But I don't think it's entirely improbable that this does end up happening. And yeah, you want to argue that an offensive tackle can mix in there? Sure. But like, we're talking the difference of maybe one player of those guys that aren't there.
Yeah, and on my end, I know people are going to look at this and be like, why would the Chargers trade out of a spot where, you know, they are very, very comfortable? They've got all of the best wide receivers on the board. Chargers want a little more assets. They don't have any depth on that team, and they weren't able to spend in free agency because they were so up against the cap. Have a couple of Chargers connections that have kind of led me to believe that they would be okay with making a trade back. As a matter of fact, the Chargers' ideal scenario is that a quarterback is still available, because then all of a sudden somebody's going to pay a king's ransom for that. But they are looking to potentially trade back. Not that they don't like these wide receivers, but trying to net value versus, you know, what they have to deal with there on that roster. So I know people are going to look at that and go, the Chargers or the Cardinals traded out and traded back up. It's going to be more of a pennies on the dollar sort of thing for the Chargers, who are just looking to acquire a few more assets and try and build out their roster a little bit more than a team like Arizona, who is just very comfortable with going up and getting a quality player there.
I simply think that Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, and Marvin Harrison Jr. are just in different tiers than the rest of this class, too. Like, even Joe Alt, for me, I find those three players to be better tiers of players than a Joe Alt. I think those three are wide receiver ones in every other draft class except for this one.
Yeah,
I think these are premier blue chip players. You know, I think if you look at this, if three quarterbacks go off the board 1, 2, 3, I think the Vikings are going to make a godfather offer.
Yes,
just to the Vikings and go nuts. That's why they went and already acquired an extra first round pick this year. I think they will go crazy to try to get a quarterback, and there's only really one quarterback that's going to be available to a team because the first three are probably sticking and picking. So there you have it. Now, okay, go. The Cardinals have so many picks. Why not go up and just get the best player in the draft? Giants, Malik Nabers. I'd rather just take Malik Nabers over Joe Alt. He's a different tier of player. Go get an electric football player. And then the Jets need to go all in. They got to go all in this year. That's an all-in move for 2024. With the eighth pick in the 2024 NFL mock draft, the Saints have traded up with the Atlanta Falcons, giving up pick 14 and 45, a little bit of an overpay, but they are taking advantage of the situation presented, trading up to get the top tackle on the board. It is Joe Alt at pick 8. Dallas Turner is the pick for the Bears at number 9. Titans, Olufashanu, the pick out of Penn State, where the Titans traded back. They traded back from 7 to 10. They still get Olufashanu on the board. I think, obviously, Matthew, this is a guy that we're paying attention to, Olufashanu, as like where he goes, because there is a little bit of an outlier to him. He literally has the like smallest hands in the history of the tackle position as registered by mock draftable. I wonder if the Chiefs see a blue chip player that, you know, if he starts falling because of that giant outlier, maybe they're aggressive to go get him.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. I think there's a chance that Olu does fall in the draft, and just because the way the hype's, it has nothing to do with his hands. To me, I don't think his lack of hand size shows up on the film at all. And so, like, is there maybe some old school O-line coach out there that's just like, oh, I don't like that? Sure, but I think that his actual issue to say no to him would stem from somewhere else rather than his hand measurements, right? So I don't think that's why he would fall, but there's a chance that he does fall. The reason I have a really hard time buying in, though, on a far enough fall the Chiefs could go get him is, well, he's the only, there's two left tackles out of this entire group. It's Joe Alt and it's Olufashanu. Yeah, maybe J.C. Latham or Amarius Mims or Tyler Guyton can switch sides. It's possible, but there's two pure left tackles in this class. Olufoshan, who's been the guy at the top all year, now all of a sudden Joe Alt has overtaken him, it seems like, to the NFL's eye. I just find it hard to believe that all of a sudden Olu has gone from, if he came out last year, he's a top 10 pick, to this year, hey, maybe he falls down the trade-up range for the team drafting 32nd in the NFL draft. So I think the fall is a possibility. I just don't expect it. So with the Titans sitting there and losing Joe Alt, I think they're just going to get the next best left tackle.
Yeah. Listen, Olu is pushing Alt for my OT1. Like, when I'm doing my own personal grades, not necessarily the ones that are on the KC draft guide, but my own personal grades, Olu might be a better pass protector right now. Might be one of the best pass protectors in the entire draft. That is incredibly valuable. And yet, everything that we hear, and it's been consistent too, and I can't figure out exactly what it is, Alt consistently is number one. But then after that, it gets pretty messy. Fuaga is sometimes in there. Fafnu is sometimes in there. Latham is sometimes in there. Now, all of a sudden, if you got those four guys going, Olufoshan might be offensive tackle 5. And if that's the case, then, you know, he might fall on some teams' boards. You know, might just be a matter of preference. Maybe they like a particular brand of nasty that like a Talese Fuaga plays with or J.C. Latham plays with instead of the way that Olu plays the game. But there are so many good tackles that you can kind of get to the point where you say, okay, I can see how this can happen as a matter of preference, not because Olu's a bad player, but as a matter of preference. And so he's the one that I've got my eyes on the most. I think this is a good spot for him. Like, I really do. He's a top 10 player, in my opinion. He really is. But with all the hype that has been surrounding everybody else, I am not going to be horribly shocked if he's around at pick 18, 19, 20, and then I'm going to be pounding the table on the live stream for the Chiefs to get up and go get that man immediately if that's the case. But I think this is more realistic at this point.
I'll start doing it in the mid-teens, Craig. All right, let's move on. Pick 11, Chargers taking Talese Fuaga from Oregon State after their trade back. The Broncos at pick 12. Would have probably talked about Bo Nix a little bit and I'm not saying that Zach Wilson and $5.5 million precludes you from taking Bo Nix, but it just kind of feels like they might be signaling they're going to just like let Stidham and, you know, Zach Wilson and maybe a day 2 pick or day 3 pick ballot out a little bit just because. Yeah, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of decent chunks of change attached to, you know, a Stidham and a Zach Wilson. So the Rams trade up with the Raiders and take Byron Murphy, the interior defensive tackle. Falcons take Laiatulatu after their trade back. Colts take cornerback 1, Terrion Arnold at pick 15. Steelers, this is where things get a little interesting for the Chiefs. I think the Seahawks are about where I'm going to start paying a lot of attention to the Chiefs trading up. I think they could, if they want to be uber aggressive for somebody, this is where it starts. But we have the Steelers trading up for wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. Pick 16 goes for picks 20 and pick 98. That's about what it would take. Wide receiver 4 falling off the board at pick 16. This is where I think things start getting a little bit interesting for the Chiefs, Matthew.
Yeah, and there's a couple trade-ups here. I think the Rams jumping up in front of a couple teams that might be taking a defender to get Byron Murphy. The Falcons get their defender. Colts gets the first corner off the board. And then you're sitting here, okay, you got to run with the Jags, and then you're going to have the Bengals coming up. Like, you have a couple teams here before the Steelers that might take a wide receiver. They see that. There's been a lot of rumors about them being maybe interested in a Brandon Ayuk if he was available for trade. Don't know how true those are, but they do need to get another receiver across from George Pickens. And right now, they have Justin Fields and Russell Wilson at quarterback. I don't know what their offense is exactly going to look like if Justin Fields takes that role. But if it's Russell Wilson, there's one thing he does in the NFL, and it's throw the deep ball. And so you got George Pickens on one side. You might as well put a Brian Thomas on the other side, lob some YOLO balls down the fields. That's what Russell Wilson still does great. And if it's Justin Fields, he's got a cannon. He can push the ball vertically and then also create on his own. So I really like the fit, even though there's a little bit of crossover with Pickens and Thomas. They go up, they get a guy that they think can really kind of change the numbers, change the math from the defensive side of the ball for them.
I like the little mini run of defenders that was in here. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think this is about the right move. I think you're going to see a guy like Byron Murphy, who could end up being, you know, the top defender off the board. In this one, it's Dallas Turner, but could be the first defender off the board. And I think that's going to start a little mini run right here with teams that are looking to go up and grab some premium players, because there's not a ton of them on the defensive side of the ball this year. There's going to be a focus on making sure you don't hit the cliff in that regard. So maybe you see a pause put on, especially since, you know, three offensive tackles, four quarterbacks. At this point, now there's been four wide receivers off the board. You're playing in a completely different tier of player. So try and pivot, try and find the sweet spot of maybe at the top of some of these positional groups on the defense. So I like this little mini run of defense. I think this is about where we start to see it.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll finish round one, and we will get to the Chiefs picks right after this.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks again, everybody, hanging out with us tonight. We are doing our one-round mock as well as the entirety of the Chiefs draft here. We are at pick 17. The Jacksonville Jaguars have selected cornerback Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. The Cincinnati Bengals at pick 18 get great value with J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle out of Alabama. The reason the Raiders traded back is because they are taking Michael Penix, the quarterback, out of Washington. So this is where we're getting a little weird, right? We're going to have a little bit of fun here. We're going to get a little weird, and we're going to take Michael Penix. We're going to get five quarterbacks. If you can hear my kid, I'm sorry. We're going to get five quarterbacks in this draft. Could you hear him, Craig?
No, not at all, buddy.
That's good. That's wonderful.
I just know that fear all too well. That's why I smiled.
Yep. So there we go. That's pick 19, the Raiders. The Seahawks traded back from 16, and we gave them interior offensive lineman Graham Barton out of Duke. Just kind of feels like trying to get, like, I think Graham Barton's relatively good value here. Like, I think this is probably about the range he goes, honestly. Like, I think the over-under on him is around 21.5. So this is kind of the expected, like, line for where he's going to go. But we have the Seahawks being the team pulling the trigger on him. All right, let's just pause there. Any quick thoughts, Matthew? Anything from this group?
No, I mean, I think a lot of these picks make sense. I'm glad that we got Byron Murphy off the board before the Frogles picked. They got themselves another very large offensive tackle they can probably take over if Trent Brown or Orlando Brown Jr. gets hurt, or take over the right tackle spot next year. They're trending towards these big tackles, so I think they're probably okay having to go with the offensive line. The Raiders, with Michael Penix, I'm curious, when draft day gets here, there's a lot of rumors that they like him. And I just wonder, are they a team that's going to try to trade back into the first round to draft him, or are they a team that's going to trade back? Like, they could obviously sit and pick and then try to come back into the first round later to pick him towards the end of the first round, maybe early second, like the Will Levis range from last year for the Titans. It's just, I think the Penix Raiders watch is going to be an interesting one to watch as the first round goes on.
Yeah, the thing that I'm paying attention to here, I just talked about how, you know, I can see some teams having Olufoshanu as offensive tackle 5. for them. Four offensive tackles have gone off the board through 20 picks now. This, you know, if it was a Fashanu right now, it's Troy Fontenot that is still existing, you know, within those top five guys that I listed there. Doesn't really make sense for the Chiefs due to his arm length, due to, you know, how he plays a little bit. I don't think that Kansas City would be in on him in a trade-up scenario. So I'm looking at it just from the number off the board here. Again, we talked about Olu. If he's five, this is a prime spot for the Chiefs there. Maybe even paying a little bit over value to try and make sure that they lock in a trade so that one of these teams allows them to come up in the draft and try and, you know, take an offensive tackle that can be the guy. But I do like the Michael Penix pick for Vegas. I think that his fit there makes a ton of sense with the way that they, you know, are going to run their offense. I think his mentality is going to fit in really well with Antonio Pierce. I am looking for when he gets drafted by them as well. Could be as early as this.
Pick 21, Miami Dolphins, Troy Fatanu. Didn't have to wait long to hear his name called. Pick 22, the Eagles are going with Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. Pick 23, the Arizona Cardinals, as part of their trade with the Minnesota Vikings, getting this pick, get Edge Jared Verse. Pick 24, the Dallas Cowboys. They pulled the trigger.
Hold on. Before we do this, this is the spot where, and the Chiefs have tried to trade with the Cowboys just last year, right? Like, there was conversations there. So you're looking, I think if you're the Chiefs, you start making this phone call to the Cowboys right now. There's a couple things that I'm looking at. Amarius Mims is still available. I don't know how confident you can be in his medicals to trade up to give multiple picks for Amarius Mims, but he's still available. That's an offensive tackle that if you feel good about his health, I think he's very worth trading up for with that the skill set and the talent that's there. Some wide receiver, Xavier Worthy's still there. If you think there's going to be a run and you're an Adonai Mitchell fan or you're a fan of Ladd McConkey and you don't want to wait through the rest of these 20s, this is a spot that I think realistically makes a little bit of sense, especially if the Cowboys really are going to push, as they haven't announced yet. Are they going to put Tyler Smith at left tackle? And if so, are they just looking for interior help? They might be comfortable moving back a little bit, picking up a couple more picks and taking an interior player a little bit later. So just before this pick gets announced, I think this would be a spot that you were, if you were the Chiefs, you would consider trying to move yourself up for.
And wouldn't cost you an arm and the leg to move up for at this point. Now, you're not shelling out another huge pick, you know, that you could use to build depth. You know, I know that that's a concern amongst a lot of people, but it is one of those that you can still keep that second rounder largely intact. So you can sit on that, come up with creative ways to try and still draft a round one and a round two player with a small trade up here.
Be like you're probably looking at pick 32, pick 95, and then maybe your 2025 third, something along
not
those
the Lucarius Sneed one.
No, your 2025 third, like your original pick. But the Cowboys have selected Xavier Worthy at pick 24. Pick 25, we have the Niners trading up. They feel comfortable with Amarius Mims medicals, and they trade up with the Packers, giving up 31 and 94 to get to pick 25.
Brown and Mims.
Trent Williams.
Yeah, there we go. And brain farting on that one. But yeah, Trent Williams and Amarius Mims across from each other. Woo! That's a lot of beefy offensive tackle there for Kyle Shanahan to work with.
Pick 26, Tampa Bay Buccaneers go Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. Pick 27, the Cardinals continue to solidify their defensive line, taking Johnny Newton out of Illinois. Pause. We're sitting here. I think how many receivers do we have off the board now? We have five receivers off the board. We're sitting here at pick 28, the Buffalo Bills. Seems pretty logical that they're probably going to go receiver here. If you wanted one of these next couple guys, you probably had to trade ahead of the Buffalo Bills. I actually think the Bills might be active. The Bills don't have a ton of assets for 2024. Like, they have pretty much regular draft capital. I think they're missing a third-round pick. I think they could still try to move up. Like, I'm paying attention to them as a team that maybe tries to move up to get a Xavier Worthy or get out ahead of wherever they think Xavier Worthy goes. Like, I think he'd make a lot of sense. But we have the Bills sticking and picking here. And we have them taking wide receiver Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. So that is that's a big one there. Any thoughts at this point, Matthew, with this group here?
Not necessarily. There's some good players there that, you know, came off the board that would make some sense for the Chiefs. Like, we obviously talked a little bit, you know, Mims coming, Worthy and Mims going off back-to-back. Both those guys I wouldn't even contemplated trading up for. And then you're getting, like, Kool-Aid or Johnny Newton. Those are some popular names down the stretch here for defensive players that have maybe slid to 32 and some other mock drafts. You're like, well, that's a best player available for the Chiefs there. It makes sense to go that route. So, like, that wasn't the best stretch if you're a Chiefs fan, you're watching the draft to see those guys all come off the board for those, you know, four straight picks.
Yeah, no, I hate the board now. Like, I hate the board for the Chiefs. Like, I'm looking at this. That was the stretch where it really turned south, you know, kind of like it did last year. It waited a little longer before it turned south, but that's one, if you're a Chiefs fan and you're trying to trade up and you are making a concerted effort in that little stretch there, and let's say the Cardinals, the Cowboys, the Eagles, the 49ers in this case who traded up, but, you know, the Packers don't want to deal with the Chiefs, the Bucks, the Cardinals, and the Bills. If they all just feel comfortable, they're like, no, I don't want to trade out of this stretch because this is where the end of the good players live. Yeah, that's kind of the way that this worked out in this particular mock draft. So, no, I really don't like the board. And we are still another, what, four picks away from the Chiefs?
Yeah. Four picks away, and it's probably teams that are three picks away and teams that probably aren't traded with the Chiefs, is me and my guess.
Yeah, I like how you drew it back to last year, because I remember we had this exact conversation, like, on the live stream last year for the draft, which, hey, we'll be doing it again this year. You guys want to tune in and listen to us talk about the draft, you know, while you're watching along with ESPN or NFL, wherever words. We'll be sitting there talking the whole time, too, so you can hop over on our YouTube page here and listen to us do that. But I said it last year. We were at, like, pick 22-ish, I think, last year, and I said, hey, there's, like, I don't know, nine names that I really like here for the Chiefs, and it seems really likely they'll be able to get one of these nine names given there's only 10 picks. Nope. Those nine names all went. Now, this draft, like you said, I think this ends a little bit early, right? This one ends a couple picks away where the Chiefs are. But yeah, when we started talking about it with the Cowboys, with Xavier Worthy still on the board at pick, what, 24 was it? It's like, yeah, there's a handful of guys here that I think are still on that group that are above everybody else. They're all gone now, right? And the Chiefs pick still coming up. So yeah, and I'm not saying everybody else is a bad player. It's just like, it clearly feels like you hit like a talent step down at this point, and they all happen back to back, which is exactly what happened last year, which definitely kind of deflated the watching perspective. Like, for, I mean, us, I know, but for a lot of Chiefs fans, it's like, oh, wow, we had a lot of guys we really liked that were available an hour ago, and now every single one is gone.
All right, so let's kind of just get up to pick 32. Detroit Lions select Darius Robinson, the hometown kid. They're just pulling a full-on Chiefs and just drafting a local kid in front, a local defensive end.
Can't argue with the process, apparently.
Hey, the Chiefs won a Super Bowl when they did that. Baltimore Ravens at pick 30 are selecting Jordan Morgan, the offensive lineman, out of Arizona. Green Bay Packers, after their trade back with the 49ers, taking linebacker Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. Had to get another weird pick.
You got
to
get a... It is. We also got to get a...
You have to get a couple weird ones in there, too.
You have to.
Like, no. All the names we're circulating and we're talking through and the group think that exists, there's going to be a couple outliers in the first round that are just, like, wild.
Absolutely. No, fully agree. And I love the pick for him. It feels so Green Bay to make that move right there. Like, they are still searching for that impact round one linebacker, like, year after year. And, I mean, Edgerrin Cooper makes as much sense as anybody else as linebacker one in this class. Like, he's got the athletic ability there. It just feels like Green Bay being like, yeah, we need another one of those super athletic guys to play at the second level.
And talking to our Green Bay friends, you know, there's a couple guys we mentioned to them. There's a couple, they're pretty strict on their thresholds for Green Bay. Like, we think the Chiefs are with offensive tackle or their edges. Like, there's a strong correlation. The Packers are even more, like, a lot stronger correlation. They kind of have it across a lot of positions. Our Packers, you know, people said, like, hey, Edgerrin Cooper, definitely a possibility based on all this stuff. So I get it. I don't think a linebacker should go in round one. I don't think Quay Walker should have gone around one. I think Devontae Wyatt should have gone around one. But guess what? The Packers like guys that fit certain thresholds for their team. Edgerrin Cooper is one of those guys, and he's a, you know, a good player. And if you need a linebacker in this class, you certainly don't want to be taking like the fourth best one. You want to get on it early if you're going to go that route. So I get it.
So that's kind of where things have sat. And ladies and gentlemen, the Kansas City Chiefs are on the clock. I think we talked through, we talked through a few different scenarios here. And like, I think this is partially, hey, let's get outside of some of the situations that we've already discussed on this show. But also let's have some conversations here. So I know I see a lot of people, you know, clamoring for a Tyler Guyton, people clamoring for a Ladd McConkey. Chop Robinson's still on the board. Nate Wiggins is on the board. Matthew, what do you feel about that pocket of players there right now?
I think there's two ways. The one player that jumps out to me of that kind of group is going to be Chop Robinson. I think he's clearly kind of like the best. He separates himself from a couple of those guys. The issue is, I think fit with the Chiefs isn't perfect. He's a guy that doesn't love to play the run that well. He hasn't had a ton of production, and you're quite frankly looking at a lot of overlap with Felix and you like Uzoma from last year. So if you still have faith that Felix is going to pull it out here on this one and like develop and stuff, I don't know if that's the best route to go for the Chiefs in terms of expanding their entire roster. So if that's the way you want to go and you want to not take Chop Robinson for those reasons, man, I don't know if I like this pick. I think I'm out. I've been very open about it. I don't know if I love a project the offensive tackle in round one, right? I just think this isn't the best value. And right now, when I'm looking at this board, I see a handful of projecting left tackles that are still available. Why do I want to choose the first one? Like, I would much rather not choose the first one of the Guyton, Kingsley Suamataya, Patrick Paul realm. Give me the middle guy. Give me the last guy of the group, because I think they're all going to need a year before they're really ready. So I'm not loving what we're looking at here at pick 32.
Yeah, Maddie, you brought this up a little bit earlier today. The Chiefs have really focused on largely offensive tackles that it's not just the arm length. We talk about arm length a lot, but also wingspan. So, you know, broader body guys as well. So a lot of their guys, and a lot, I think you can speak to this, most, if not all, have been above an 83-inch wingspan. Is that correct?
Every tackle besides Prince Tegu-Winogo that they have kind of brought in since Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback has had a wingspan of 83 inches or more. And now Andrew Wiley's an exception, but he was brought in as a guard as well.
Correct.
So that's where it does get a little tricky. But like you see, when they're bringing in some depth guys, or they're bringing in, you know, depth guys or guards, it may be a little different. But I mean, we're talking Wanya Morris, Lucas Niang, Jawan Taylor, Darian Kennard, like all the Donovan
Orlando Smith, Brown Jr. Yes.
All of them. Yeah. Wide. I think we all mentally say the Chiefs love athletic players. They love athletic tackles to shoot back in a pass set, cover a lot of ground, and mirror rushers. Like, theoretically, it makes sense. But they haven't. They've much rather sacrificed a little bit of athleticism for guys that are stouter, guys that are a little bit wider. So, like, I just wonder if that's something that we maybe have overlooked with the concept of Eric Fisher being the mold, the super athlete of Eric Fisher being the mold. But maybe that's not it. Maybe he is not the pinnacle of what they're looking for this team.
Right. So a Tyler Guyton under an 83-inch wingspan there. So you kind of take a look at that a little bit as a guy that may or may not fit all of their criteria. Maybe he's not top of the offensive tackles left. So, Kit, please proceed with pick 32 here, buddy.
Yeah, so, and I think Ladd McConkey for me fits as a player that I would like to see the Chiefs take at 32 and I'll be thrilled with. But it's also one we spent a lot of time talking about. And so we want to explore some other scenarios. And also, I think it's good for us to try to prepare for different scenarios mentally, because we get so fixated as a fan base on specific players, and like, we're all guilty of it, right? We're guilty of it. You're guilty of it. You all have your guys. You're all clamoring for your picks. Ladd McConkey's the pick at 32 for the Chiefs. I'm happy. I've been on the board saying that. I'm totally content with that. We decided to mix some things up. Maybe the Chiefs want to play in the day two pool a little bit at wide receiver instead of the day one. Well, maybe they think they might have a chance at a Ladd McConkey with a small trade back. So what we've done here is the Washington Commanders, with their bevy of picks, have elected to get something of a little bit of a different flavor at their wide receiver group to pair with Jaden Daniels, to grab somebody that probably fits what Jaden Daniels has done well at the collegiate level. And part of the reason that he was so attractive and wind up garnering the second pick is his ability to throw down the field. And if you listen today, Xavier Legette was on someone's show saying that the Carolina Panthers have basically told him that he's their pick at pick 33. Now, that could be lies. That I don't know. But we're going to have the Washington
also
Commanders.
Notable, he apparently had a top 30 with the Chiefs. And that just came out, too. We don't got to talk about it. But him and Tez Walker, these two top 30 visits for the Chiefs that have come out in the past few days that we didn't know about before. Hey, look, two more day two-ish wide receivers. Just interesting.
You know, it's they're adding up. We have the Commanders trading with the Chiefs. The Chiefs select pick 40 get pick 40 and 100 for pick 32 from the Washington Commanders so they can jump the Carolina Panthers and get Xavier Legette. So here we are. The Chiefs now sit here with picks 40, 64, 95, and 100 in the top 100 picks. Cool? All right. Awesome. Cool. Let's party now. All right. Let's get into this, folks. It is time for the Kansas City Chiefs to start making some picks. Here
How
we
sad
go.
Are we going to be at 11:45 p.m. if the Chiefs trade out of pick 32?
Good With news, that Maddie. Board, Maddie, I'm doing backflips.
I love letting it ride another day. First off, it's going to be 10:45 because we are on normal hours here in Kansas City.
No, you're not.
Oh, both of you are working against me now. I don't like it. With the 40th pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Kansas City Chiefs, after trading back out of their first-round pick, have selected offensive tackle Patrick Paul out of Houston. They are not they're taking one of those developmental tackle projects. And we have spent a lot of time in the last couple of days really talking about this group. The Kingsley Suamatayas, the Patrick Pauls, the Tyler Guyton's of the world. And we're taking Patrick Paul. There's a lot of buzz that Patrick Paul right now, like this is one of the interesting things leading up to the draft. There seems to be a lot of buzz surrounding Patrick Paul's maybe draft slot being a lot higher than people are anticipating. Maybe it's the Chiefs at 32 because of all the developmental tackles. Patrick Paul is the most Chiefs-y developmental tackle, if you ask me, the arm length, with the width, with the arm span, with the pass protection. I've watched him more last couple days. I've walked away feeling better about him, even, you know, like maybe not at 32. I don't think I'll love it, but I'll understand why they did it. And it may not be my favorite pick, but I could totally see them doing it. But we have the Chiefs trading back and taking Patrick Paul at pick 40. Matthew, how do you feel if they're doing that?
Yeah, I mean, pretty good. It's still a little early for the developmental tackle for me, but I do at least like moving back, picking up the extra top 100 pick to get to do it. And I mean, not that I think that I have Patrick Paul graded ahead of a Guyton or ahead of a Suamataya, but like just the more I kind of dove in, looked at the types that the Chiefs have gone for, Patrick Paul makes a lot of sense. If you watch him, of this group of guys that we're talking about, he's taken the most like legitimate pass sets. He's the guy that does the most NFL stuff with his feet. Now, his hands are a disaster, and like he knows that. He's been working on it with Duke Mannyweather already. They were breaking that down from the top. I would trust a guy like Andy Heck to get on top of that as well. So like, I get the fit. I think the value is, you know, not great, because I think even if you look at the consensus board, he's a little bit farther down, like in the 50s, 60s, you're taking him at 40, but at least picking up that extra day two pick to move down and do it makes it pretty good. And the way the rest of the board is shaped up, like nothing else is jumping out to me as like, oh, wow, I really wish they would have done that. So like, I feel, you know, fine to pretty good about it. And then I think you have yourself the chance to get an offensive tackle of the future. I do wonder what you get year one, though, and if you still want to bring in the Donovan Smith or how you want to handle year one, because I'm not 100% sold Patrick Paul's ready for year one.
Yeah, Patrick Paul's a guy that I will take some coming around to. He just plays offensive tackle in a way that I don't personally like. Now, that's not to say that Andy Heck doesn't like it. I just don't like offensive tackles that have a lot of forward lean. You get a guy that, you know, plays with some power, all of a sudden he's just pulling you onto your face a lot. Patrick Paul has a ton of forward lean. Makes sense. He's a huge individual that's going to be going up against guys that are much smaller than him, much shorter than him. We just got done talking about arm length, you know, 83-inch wingspan. He's got an 86.25-inch wingspan. He is a massive individual. Yeah, Kent.
He doesn't use it.
Well, he doesn't. Duke's working with him on his hands. We
100%.
Know. Yeah, we know that the Chiefs like guys that come out of Duke's camps. They like the way that he trains guys coming into the NFL. I mean, we've seen a lot of them recently. Wanya Morris, we saw it out of Darian Kennard, obviously Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. Like, they have leaned on the Duke Mini-Weather tree a lot. So Patrick Paul makes a lot of sense. I'm with Natty. I'm not sure what we get year one out of Patrick Paul. Who knows? Maybe he comes into camp and those hands look a lot better than they did in college, and then you feel comfortable, you know, trotting a guy like that out there pretty early. But I like the stab. And I want to leave us with this before we get off of Patrick Paul. Jeff Allen has said this on a podcast before, so I'm not speaking out of school, but Jeff Allen has said that King Dunlap was Andy Reid's favorite offensive tackle ever. Do you know why? Length and size. It wasn't about athleticism. It wasn't about any of the other things about the way that he played or anything like that. It was, I can't teach that that level of length. And that's essentially what you're getting out of Patrick.
The Chiefs like Duke Mini-Weather, guys.
They do.
I think Patrick Paul, I think he's probably gotten a little bit better since the last time we saw him at the Senior Bowl. All right, let's move on here with this mock draft for the Chiefs. So last year, Brett Veach made three trade-ups, second, third, fourth round to secure his guys after sitting Pat at round one and letting the board stick. We're going to have them being a little bit aggressive here today, too. The Chiefs are moving up to pick 50 from 64. They're giving up pick 100 and pick 64 to get all the way up to pick 50. And they are taking one of the last few. If you're looking at tiers of wide receivers, I think he's one of the last in his tier of wide receivers. It's wide receiver Troy Franklin out of Oregon. The Chiefs are trading up to pick 50 using 64 and 100. This is one of Matty Lane's guys. This is one of those guys he was really high on earlier in the draft process. Matty, how do you feel if the Chiefs do this at pick 50?
Yeah, I mean, I like the pick of Troy Franklin. I like going up to get him. I like being aggressive, especially if you're sitting here looking at this board and wondering where some of the dynamic wide receivers are going, right? There's a chance as we go through here that some of these wide receivers that we all kind of like in this round, like guys like a Roman Wilson, guys like Javon Baker, Ricky Pearsall, Jalen Polk, like these guys are all can be very good, but a lot of them are kind of lacking that true dynamic take, not even just take the top off, but guys that are a home run threat every time they kind of touch the ball, and they can do it with a vertical passing game or after the catch. He seems to be the guy that provides the most like danger. He's the most dangerous weapon of the guys left. So if you want to get that moving forward, especially if Hollywood Brown's only going to be on a one-year deal, I absolutely get going up for him. If you feel confident that Hollywood Brown can provide you that floor, the safety net of the wide receiver position that you've been missing, and you want to go chase the ceiling of a Troy Franklin, absolutely get it. And I think moving up to get that kind of guy is okay. I would love to like see the full on board in this spot and wonder if I can't just stick it out to 64 and then get my safety net and we'll worry about the high end later. Or maybe that's a Rashee Rice, or we can maybe get Hollywood to come back. So I don't know if I feel like pressed that I have to go up and get Troy Franklin, but if you want that dynamic ability, I'm not going to be upset by it.
No, I'm not upset by this either. It feels about right. They were able to trade back, still get an offensive tackle that was probably near the top of their board, and now they can move up a little bit and make sure that they get a wide receiver that can be a difference maker for them. Now, he's very thin. He's very slender. He's going to get knocked off of his routes. He's going to not be able to necessarily beat press regularly or anything like that. But man, how often is he going to face press with that level of speed? Like, that's where he wins. He wins so much on the vertical plane and still has the ability to work shallow to intermediate as well. It's not like he's just a vertical guy. It's just he's pretty slight. You're not going to get a ton of yak. You're not going to get a ton out of him after he catches the ball, but you got this ability. You still win over the top with the nine route. You got the speed threat to force too high coverage. You've heard me talk about that all offseason because we saw how many defenses shifted their strategy to kick guys down to the box. Mm-hmm. Give me a guy that forces too high coverage. Absolutely forces it. Isaiah Pacheco's better for it. Hollywood Brown's better for it. Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce are better for it. Force that too high coverage. Create some more space in the middle of the field. We've seen it work with Patrick Mahomes before. You have a ton of separation, a ton of the ability to have wide open throwing windows in the intermediate areas. Troy Franklin allows that for.
I see some people worried about like Troy Franklin's play strength, and I'm not going to say that there isn't some concerns there, but I think you guys are not seeing the forest from the trees when you're having that conversation personally, because he's going to get a lot of free releases. He's going to get, you know, he's going to be able to threaten vertically without a lot of contact because of how the Chiefs offense is built and because of where he'll be lining up and the, you know, protection that he's going to be able to get those free releases. Like, I understand the criticism and like it's valid, but within the Chiefs offense, he should be able to get some free releases and the opportunities to work vertically down the field, really start to threaten defenders and, you know, keep them from getting their hands on. So I think you look at like how he could fit in Kansas City specifically. It's a concern for sure, but it's not the only concern because he's going to get protected in that regard. Playing to the strengths of Troy Franklin, they will find a way to get him involved down the field, and it will be very fun. We have Brett Veach continuing his aggressive play style, his aggressive moves. He's trading picks 95 and 159 for pick 85 and taking Rue Gororo. It wasn't just a rar or o.
Rue Gororo.
We should have given...
Roma didn't say.
We should have given you... We should have given you the chance to do that. Anyways, the defensive tackle out of Clemson, he's going at pick 85, Matthew.
Yeah, I like this move. I like going up to get a D tackle. I think when we talked about this, we were kind of trying to play out with what defensive tackles we think would be available to trade up in this range. And like guys like Mason Smith and Michael Hall Jr., we thought would already be off the board. And like that feels, those guys feel a little bit more upside, and being younger, they're probably off the board. So you get Rook falling down with the same level of athleticism and ceiling. He's just a little bit older, and so maybe you can get him there. So in a vacuum, I like this trade up to get a more dynamic interior defensive lineman to pair with Chris Jones and to take a little bit off his plate. I don't know if I love it coming off the heels of another relatively big trade up, right? Using pick 100 already, like you used a lot of these picks here in a stretch from 64 to 160. Like pick 159 isn't huge, but you just used a lot of picks to move up for these two guys that maybe you could have stuck without one of the trades. But I do like getting a dynamic defensive tackle. And like in a vacuum, I think I like this trade better than the Troy Franklin one.
Yeah. It feels very Veachy still, though. Like, be aggressive to go get your guys after an initial trade back. Like, that all aligns with what he's done in the past. Obviously, you know, with the new contract extension, he's got more than enough runway here to, you know, play the long game a little bit. I like the way that Aurora plays. Plays with some power, gets through guys' chests, is a good, you know, looper on stunts. Basically, everything that we see some of the guys that they use on the interior that are not named Chris Jones, what they are doing opposite of Chris Jones, that's what he does really, really well. Now, it doesn't always show. He's a little bit slow off the snap sometimes, gets stuck on blocks sometimes. He's not necessarily a guy that's going to come in, you're going to be like, oh, wow, he took Turk Wharton's job. But that's not out of the realm of possibility early in his career. You need more bites at the apple at defensive line because you just don't have a lot of those guys on the interior in 2025. I like this pick as a future guy to help give Chris Jones some breather moving forward here as he gets a little bit older and into the later years of his contract.
All right, there's no more trade-ups for the Chiefs. Pick 131, though, the Chiefs are taking Eric Gall, the tight end out of Iowa. I think this is a player that they've had in for a top 30 visit. Tape, I enjoyed watching his tape from before his injury this year even. Like, there's like that Iowa offense is a mess, but it was even worse after Eric Gall left. Like, he was, you know, he was a guy that they got very much involved. He's a very interesting player after the catch. He's more of a F-type blocker than he is a true inline Y, but he's still a capable blocker. Some dynamic ability with the ball in his hands for a guy that big. I think this is a buy no type scenario where, you know, you're trying to get a little bit of value because the injury, because I think without the injury, he probably goes before pick 131, Matty.
Yeah, and there's a couple like of these move receiving type tight ends that the Chiefs have been interested in. There's some Jared Wiley rumors out there that Tanner McLaughlin's has been mocked to the Chiefs numerous times. Then Eric All's another one, and Ben Sinnott as well. But he's probably going on day two rather than day three. But like, and I don't think he moves the same with these other guys. Like when I watch all of these other guys I'm talking about, you just watch them. I'm not saying they are Travis Kelce, but like there's a difference when you watch Travis Kelce move and then even George Kittle, who's been like the second best tight end, or Mark Andrews, who's now the second best tight end, right? There's a difference in how Kelce moves on a football field versus those guys. I'm not saying they're not great athletes. They're not great tight ends. They just move in a different way. And the Chiefs over the years have been kind of intrigued in tight ends, you know, here and there. It usually the guys that they like a lot to, you know, worthy of bigger picks, they just move differently. And Eric Ault might be like the epitome of that. You watch him get off the line of scrimmage versus press. And like, yeah, actually versus press, he has some lateral agility that's pretty insane, with a little bit of flexibility to dip under or around a guy's hands, alter his body angle to open up the throwing lane. Like, there's not a lot of snaps out there because he's been so injured over the past few years. But like, you watch him take a shovel pass for Iowa and navigate through traffic. You watch him beat press coverage. Like, it doesn't take you very long. Like, man, he would fit right into how the Chiefs want to utilize a tight end and how they like the way they utilize Travis Kelce. You just got to hope that, I mean, he had a back surgery. It was minimally invasive, whatever that means, for a spine surgery. And then he's also coming off of a torn ACL now. So like, there's some definite medical work that needs to be done, but he moves differently than other tight ends.
Yeah, he was a guy that I got to pretty late here in the process and watched a lot of this tight end class, but hadn't really gotten around to all because he was pretty low on the list. All those injuries add up, you know. Saw people that are like, Ed, who knows if he's ever going to be able to stay healthy. And when I turned him on, I saw a lot of the things that Maddie was talking about there, and I was pretty impressed that, you know, that he was playing at the level that he was. Now, he's not a great blocker by any means. He's a willing one, but not a great one. But the thing that I like the most when I look at the rest of this tight end class, it's a lot of move tight ends. It's a lot of guys that are lining up in the backfield as H-backs, in the slot. All lines up with his hand in the dirt a lot more often than a lot of these other guys, and comes off the line of scrimmage really, really well. Like, guys are not sure if it's a run pass, you know, situation based on all tells and things like that. There's a lot of the little things within his game that I just see fit really well into kind of that Jody Fortson role that they have crafted over the past several years as a tight end 3 or 4 situation. He's not going to line up and take Blake Bell's job. He's not going to be a guy that you're going to just say, okay, stick him in line. He's going to be an awesome blocker or anything like that. But he does enough to make me believe, oh, okay, I can see how he fits with Travis Kelce, with Noah Gray, without having too much overlap and still be a contributor in the passing game as long as he's healthy.
Speed round real quick to get rid of these next two, or get through these next two picks. You guys, we're going to go to one of you each for these. So pick 173, Chiefs take interior offensive lineman Hunter Norzad out of Penn State. Craig, I know this is your guy.
It's my guy. Love Hunter Norzad. Has the flexibility. Talked about him a lot. Played left tackle at Citadel for a number of years. Transferred to Penn State around COVID times, and they kicked him inside. His Illinois tape is fun to watch. His Ohio State tape is not. That's why he's here. But the versatility, the movement ability, he does a lot of things with his hands, with his footwork that Andy Heck covets out of his offensive linemen, and the versatility to kick all the way out to either side is an important piece of what Andy Reid likes to build in his best 5 offensive line room. He's never going to play tackle for the Chiefs, to be clear here, but he's a guy that just makes so much sense to add as a depth piece to the interior offensive line. And just see what you got moving forward there. Maybe you feel comfortable moving on from a Trey Smith or a Joe Tooney based on how you see Norzad evolve. A good late snag for a guy like that.
And with the 221st pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chiefs have selected the Toronto Argonauts cornerback. Yes, you heard that correctly. He is eligible for the draft. Quantes Diggers. Maddie's guy we got to see at the Shrine Bowl.
Yeah, we got to see him at the Shrine Bowl, and that's about all the tape I have been able to watch on him, right? But I mean, like, the one thing that flashed real quick is, like, there's a comfort playing the football. There's ball skills that are very evident, and I believe that, like, I don't have the exact numbers because, again, I'm not a Canadian Football League expert here, but I believe he had a lot of ball production at the CFL, if I remember from talking to our good pal Eric Galco. And like that showed up real quick in practices, right? Like, well, whether it's over his shoulder, coming downhill, he played the football really well. Good size. He can be physical. Yeah, I think he has a lot of the tools the Chiefs, Steve Spagnuolo likes. I know their corners don't usually have a ton of ball production, but Steve Spagnuolo gets up there and talks about it year after year, and it never comes. So like in round seven, this feels like a worthy screen, a swing of a guy that they can maybe develop over time like they like to do at the end of most drafts.
All right, guys. So when we do mock drafts, we don't try to do like the rosiest version of it, right? We try to ground them and come up with some realistic scenarios and try to hit it on the fairway. What would you give this mock draft, Maddie? If you were like, if we're walking away from this draft, how are you feeling? What are you giving it grade wise?
I do this every year. When I give something a C, that means average. That means like I think they did exactly what they should have done with their capital. Like I'm not grading like, you know, ESPN puts out grades, and if it's not an A minus, they think you stunk, right? So a C is perfectly average for this thing. So I think I'm probably somewhere in the B range. I kind of like the trade back. Don't know if we'd maximize the value from the trade back by then immediately using pick 100 to move up for a wide receiver in round two. I think that we could have kept a few more of like the middle round stuff, but like it's still a solid B. I think you get some players that matter. If Franklin or Patrick Paul hit to kind of like the ceiling, their athletic ceilings, it looks a lot better. It's just both those guys I do think need a little bit of work. So it is a little bit of a risky draft, especially considering that you traded out and then traded back up to get the two to work.
It's a B minus for me, mostly because I'm not sure who all of these guys are contributing year one. Like, I would like to bank on Troy Franklin. I would like to bank on Patrick Paul, but I'm not sure. I could see a scenario where they get redshirted, both of those guys, and then you're hoping that Ruka Roro or Eric All or Hunter Norzett or Quantes Stiggers is your real cream of the crop year one, and I just don't see it out of those guys. The reason why I still gave it a B minus, they went offensive tackle, wide receiver, defensive tackle, tight end, interior offensive lineman, and corner. Those are all the positions they need. Like, that's it. They needed to address all of those. And frankly, at the rounds that they did it, at the spots that they did it, I like all of those guys well enough. It's a future draft for sure. But once again, Brett Veach just signed a 7-year contract extension. He ain't got nothing to worry about here. He's playing the long game. So that's why it's a B minus for me.
I'll give it a B minus probably, or a B. I think Patrick Paul, if he's the Chiefs' first pick in this draft, I do think he's starting next year. I don't know if it'll always be pretty, but I think they'll play through a little bit of ugly. So I think he will be the starter if they choose to draft him in early. So, Donovan Smith was fine. Wanye Morris was on, he was a little less than fine. Learned what he needs to do going forward. I think Patrick Paul's a better player than Wanye Morris, and I think Patrick Paul would come in and play capably to start. So B minus B for me probably is where I would
be the highest on this draft. Like, who would have ever thought that I would have given this the highest grade?
No, definitely. Look at us. Not.
Who would have thought?
We took your guy, Patrick Paul. That's why you like it.
We'll be back on Wednesday getting you guys ready for the NFL draft. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you all so much for listening, supporting KC Sports Network. That's going to do it for this episode of The Laboratory. We appreciate you. Catch you later. Come to our party.